chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. We'll read verses 66 and we'll go ahead and read through the end of the chapter. We've entitled our message tonight, Casualties of the Faith. Casualties of the Faith. Now, I woke up probably somewhere in the last week and God just began to give me some thoughts, and I had heard a message that challenged me, and challenged me again and again. And so the Lord began to deal with me about some things. And you know, to me, folks, there's a lot of difference in a sermon and a message. And I know there's times as preachers that we dig and we try our best, and just in our human frailties, we try to get the mind of the Lord. And sometimes we get up, I know Brother Horton can attest to this, you get up and you wonder, did I get it right?
Yeah.
And you struggle, and you call on God, and you try to ask God to help you, to give you something that the people need from God, directly from the throne of God.
Yes.
But there's times that you just feel like, I don't know if I hit or not. And on some of those times, you know, honestly, when I thought, God, I missed it today, I really messed it up. I missed it. And someone will come up and say, Brother, in tears in their eyes, that blessed my heart. So you see, it's not about us.
Right. No.
It's not about me. I'm just here tonight as a servant of the Lord to be used of Him. And this old country boy will do the best he can with God's help. And that's all I can do. But the point is, he must increase and I must decrease. We individually must decrease while God increases in our lives. We make more room for Him and less room for ourselves. The Word of God, if you'll stand with us tonight, would you please, for the reading of the Word. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Father, we ask for Your anointing, Your servant tonight. God, I pray that You'd be with us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to speak the mind of the Lord. Lord, that which we need from Your Word tonight. Help us, Lord, just to lift up Your name tonight in everything we say and we do. May You be glorified, and may the people of God feel the presence of the Lord in their lives before they leave this place. And thank You for Your presence already. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Thank You so much. You may be seated. I don't think that I've ever seen a day where the people of God have struggled so much. As we travel around for the past several years, we spent 7 years in South Carolina. And we were in ministry there, war evangelistic type ministry, filling in churches and helping pastors, raising up the arms of the pastors that is such a dire need now. I don't know that I've ever seen a day where I've seen pastors so discouraged, so heartbroken, and so distraught over this COVID-19. I was telling Brother Horton, I said, you know, the worst thing about it, when we got it, I lost my taste.
Yeah.
Can you imagine entering the pearly gates with no taste?
Yeah.
Sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb? I know we'll all be healed and we'll be perfect.
Yeah. Right.
But you think of something like that in our human minds, you know, get to running, Lord. I didn't appreciate my taste before, but I do now.
Yeah.
And my smell. And it was months, folks, and I don't know that it's still right. But I tell you, I see so much. We've traveled to so many churches, and the COVID-19, all of the things that are going on, and it seems like it's resurfacing again, and there's becoming another problem. And, you know, I kind of made this prediction. I said, you know, you get the flu shot, and then there's some variant of flu that they didn't predict. And you get it. Every time I've taken it, I get it. And they say, why don't you take the vaccine? I said, because y'all not going to get it right. You're going to miss the one I'm going to get. And it's going to be worse. For some reason, it seems to be worse.
Yeah, I hear you.
But, and I'm not knocking getting the vaccine, but I tell you, folks, we're in troubled times.
Yeah.
My point is we're in perilous times, as the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy. And my concern, this is one of the saddest scriptures to me in the Bible, that disciples of the Lord went back and walked no more. People that followed the Lord, served the Lord, came to church every Sunday, listened to the messages, went through the motions, did the things they're supposed to do, and yet they turned their back on the Lord.
Right.
Now there's a lot of doctrine out there, and I hear it, unfortunately, I hear it in Pentecostal churches. Seriously. That once you're saved, you don't have to worry about anything. You've got a grace credit card. You can do what you want, and you're going to be okay, and you're going to walk through the pearly gates, and everything's going to be good. And I know this stems out of the fact that some people struggle with the assurance of the believer. They have a problem understanding that God can keep us. Amen?
Right.
He's not up there ready to thump us every time we mess up.
Right.
But this is a growth process. We all know that.
Yes, yes, sir.
We grow in the grace of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that we don't. You see, when our nature changes and we're regenerated, we change, don't we, Brother Horace?
Yes,
we're a new creature in Christ. And all of a sudden, old things are passed away and everything becomes new. And we see things from a different perspective. And God's Holy Spirit says, you did that. That's not right.
Yeah.
And He checks us, doesn't He?
Yes, He does.
And He helps us to fall down, and He convicts us, the Holy Spirit does, and He works through our conscience, and we need to be really receptive to that and tender towards the Lord. And I think that's one of our key problems today. People are not tender before the Lord.
Right.
And because of that, they drift, get away from God, and turn their back on the Lord. Oh, that we would keep the tenderness towards the Spirit. When the Spirit says, oh, that's wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
You see, pray without ceasing to me is being conscious of God's presence all day long. Doesn't mean we're going to be on our knees at an altar. We know that. But it's all day. Lord, thank you for this day. This man needs a word of encouragement. This man needs to know Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what we're in, a spirit of prayer, continuous fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And God wants us in that state of mind. I think that's what helps us, relationship with the Lord. Well, you don't get that by getting up in the morning and first thing you think about something other than the Lord. We won't even deal, I'll let your pastor deal with all the things that you might think about in the morning. Maybe you want to get to the newscast. I don't know. See what's going on. But let me tell you something. If we'll get up in the morning with the first thing on our mind is the Lord, Lord, this day is your day.
Right.
You made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for you.
Yes, yes, sir.
And be conscious of God.
Yes.
From early in the morning all the way till we lay our heads down at night. And we began to weep and cry before God. I know there's times that God wakes me up in the night. And I think about people that need God and need to know Him. And that's the time I feel like maybe the line's not so busy. I don't know. It feels good anyway.
Yeah.
To wake up and just let God's presence. I've laid there and just tears streaming down my eyes praying for somebody or something.
Yes,
that I know God needed to meet a need in someone's life. Maybe even my own. God, do a work in me.
Yes, sir.
Help me, God, to be what I need to be. Oh, I go to so many churches, and I was saying we were in South Carolina, and there's so many that there's no worship. You'd be surprised, folks, Pentecostal churches where it's so quiet and so, not getting on you, it's okay to be quiet sometimes. But there's no worship, sincere like there was tonight.
Yeah.
There's no altar services. I'm amazed. Thank God for altars.
Yeah.
Thank God. came around, prayed for the need. I love that. Prayed for the needs of the people. Oh, but the altar doesn't just start here and stop here.
Right.
It's at home in our own, making our own altars before God.
Yes, sir.
So that we bring something to the house of God. And we can edify the body of Christ because we have something inside of us. Amen. That raises up the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's working through us to be able to exercise the gifts of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In our lives. But oh, no personal relationship and no respect for God's house.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm amazed, folks. It's a coffee house. It's a beach.
Yeah.
I'll let you make application. It's everything but what it needs to be.
Exactly.
And that's a place that we worship the Lord Jesus
Christ.
And we're able to edify and teach. And not just have a bunch of shallow prayers, but prayers that are in depth.
Yes.
That touch the heart of God. And He can touch our heart. Amen. And change us and transform us. You know, there's some great questions in the future of our preparedness. The church has to be prepared. There's some things that Jesus tarries we're going to go through that we're going to have to be prepared for, folks.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, Lord, I lay me down to sleep prayer that's going to sustain us.
Right.
It's going to take something.
Yeah.
It's going to take a dedication and a commitment to the Lord that we have never had in our lives before. I ask you the questions. I'm concerned tonight as I travel and I see what's going on out there. What are we going to do to respond to real persecution when it hits?
Yeah, come on. Yes, sir.
We couldn't handle COVID. I'll be honest with you. We were lost.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yes, sir. Yep.
I'm not the only pastor that went through this at the time. Very difficult times. Weren't prepared. God help us. Because, you know, it's the times that you just kneel in prayer and you just trust God.
Yeah.
Now, we say we trust Him until something like this hits and all of a sudden there's a real test. Mm-hmm. There's a real trial. This stuff is real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
And yet, your faith rises up in you and you say, God, I've got to have faith. I got to commit this to you.
Yeah.
But then your fear is on one side and it's fighting against that faith because you know you've seen people. And you're having this war go on. Well, the Bible talks about the spirit and the flesh are contrary, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what does it take to overcome the flesh? Paul said, I die daily.
Right.
But how does he die? Because he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And what did Christ leave us when He left? The Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
That Acts 2 experience that most people want to deny.
Come on.
The gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and gives us the power that we need in the church. And oh, if we can maintain that in our prayer lives, in our personal lives, in our altar lives, and get a refilling and an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, I believe we'll have the power to overcome and to be prepared for the things that are coming our way.
Yes, sir. Believe that.
Are we ready to die for this gospel?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Let me tell you, that's not far away.
Praise your right.
Where we're headed in this country.
Yeah.
This is the leading country in the world.
Mm-hmm,
if Christianity is challenged here, it's challenged in the world.
Yeah.
We are the outreach center. Have been. God can change that.
Right.
Are we ready to die? Are we willing to lose all we have? In America, we're wealthy. We've got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've been blessed.
Yeah.
Are you willing to give that for the Lord?
Come on.
There's people being challenged on their jobs to the point they're having to stand for their faith or quit their jobs.
Right.
A lot of them are making excuses and they're going ahead. But folks, I'm asking the question, what is the faith of the future generations?
Yeah.
Will they also go away?
Yeah.
Will they turn their back on the Lord? Will we stand when it costs us something?
Come on.
I've had to ask myself all these questions and continue to.
Yeah.
God, when it really costs me something, am I going to be willing to stand? These are thought-provoking. So I said, Lord, what caused this state we find ourselves in this country? In our churches, in our nation. Where did we get here? Well, first of all, I think it all starts with the church. With us.
Right.
I think that one of the reasons we're confused. And we're confused because we don't read this word and study it.
Yeah.
And we've got so much commentary. I tell you, folks, I don't know about you, but if you listen to the news, you get so confused. You don't know whether your head's up or down or what, who's lying, who's telling the truth. It's bad. But did you know there's just as much commentary out there and opinions about the Word of God? What does the Bible say? The Spirit will guide us into truth. So we need to be full of His Holy Spirit, don't we?
Yes, sir.
So when we sit down and read this, I'm not looking to make this book fit what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm trying to find out what God wants me to do to serve Him, to please Him.
Yes, sir.
Enoch had this testimony. He pleased the Lord. And he was not, God took him. But folks, he represents the raptured church.
Yeah.
Amen. All we got to do is just please the Lord. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Because in the light of eternity, this life is short. Very short.
Yes.
Confused. You see, we're challenged by a culture who rationalizes our faith. You can't rationalize faith.
No. Come on.
Explain to me tonight how when you came in to this sanctuary, you sat down on that pew, and you didn't stop and ask it, was it going to hold you up?
Right. Yeah.
Nobody did that. You just believed. You sat down. That's the way we got to be with God. It's simple faith.
Right.
What He said in here, He means. It's going to come to pass. All these promises He's given us, they have things we have to do, don't they? That, yes, grace is free, but the promises of God are usually with obedience, repentance.
Yeah.
They have something we have to do. We can't earn our salvation, but oh, God requires when we change, we live for Him. Amen?
Right. Exactly.
We live for Him. Challenged by a culture. And so, as a result, a lot of people began to justify their sins. You know, I think of Achan, and I think of how that the people of God went and fought an easy battle. Should have been an easy victory.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the sin
that
Achan had committed by burying the things, the spoils in his tent, what happened? They were beat to pieces, lost lives. And I think, God, how much do we lose because we bury things and try to justify things? And so, therefore, we end up walking away from God and getting away from Him because we didn't just commit everything to Him to start with. Amen. And continue to live for Him. Oh, if there's things in your life that are displeasing to God, disobedient to God's command, that's what sin is. You know, sometimes there may be things in this Bible that God uses a principle to convict us personally of. That doesn't mean it's everybody else's sin. We have a problem with that sometimes, don't we, in Pentecost? But there's something God said, well, this is what I want you to do. Because God knows us, see? He knows what we're apt to do or not to do. So He comes to us and He says, I want you to give this up. If we disobey, does that put us at odds with God? I think a lot of times it starts a downward spiral of saying no, and we end up turning away from God. A lot of people do because they're not obeying the voice of God. They're not willing to say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to serve you. I know this is not going to make me a better Christian, but because you want to take this from me, I'm willing to let it go.
Yeah.
We're losing wars because we let sin come in our house.
Right. Yeah, come on. I believe that.
God help us.
I believe that.
Number two, complacency. We've become more professional than we have anointed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I've gone into a lot of churches where, boy, they were good. They said everything right. They didn't even make a mistake. Man, that preacher was so smooth. But there's something missing. Nobody was moved by the message. Nobody was touched. Nobody moved to the altar. Nobody wanted to change anything because there was no anointing.
Yeah.
Oh, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Have we become actors and entertainers in the church? You know, I think of Saul. Saul was a man that had it all. Had every opportunity. The Bible says he was a head above everybody. He was the best looking guy there was.
Yep.
Everybody thought he was the greatest. And he let all that go to his head.
Mm-hmm.
He even prophesied.
Yep.
He let it go to his head and he began to do things on his own instead of allowing God to help him.
Yes.
And what happened to him? Because of that, he began to disobey God and do things that were wrong. And the kingdom was taken away from his family and given to David. And that started a downward spiral between those two families, the Bible says. And David, he became jealous of. But David was a man after God's own heart. And sought him. And what did he do? One of the first moves he made was he brought the Ark of the Covenant back. We need the presence of God to come back in our churches and in our lives individually. We need God to come down in a special way for each and every one of us to get back at the altars and just pray through. Have you heard that term in a while? I'm sure you use it around here. Pray through. That means go through. Sometimes you've got to press.
Yeah.
Paul said, I press toward the mark.
Yes, sir.
He said, there's got to be some serious persistency.
Yes.
I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let anybody steal what I've got in my heart. Then number three, conviction is compromised, as I heard. Conviction.
Yeah.
Have we transitioned from traditional values to focus on tolerance? I see this so often. You've heard it so many times. We begin to just tolerate things. Look, I'm all for compassion, and that's going to be one of the points. We need to have compassion. Jesus had compassion.
Yes, sir.
But we can't compromise the truth of God's word.
No, sir.
To get along with all of this junk that's going on.
No.
Look, they've taken a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, do I hate people that live this lifestyle? No. The rainbow taking that. Look, that's God's promise to the people of God.
Amen.
That's not some homosexual thing.
No. Exactly.
And they've taken and desecrated that. That's what I'm talking about. We're getting away from God and getting away from what God wants us to do. Not willing to do what He wants so that no one perishes but comes to eternal knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's there for homosexuals.
He is.
To save them, but they have to change their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just like we have to change ours.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for us to point the finger. Because
mm-hmm.
that's something we all but boy, we got some things sometimes we got in our tent.
Clean house. Yes, sir.
We gotta clean up. Amen.
Yeah.
We gotta make it right with God. Oh, we don't need to compromise our walk with the Lord. You know. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a day where Christians can curse, lie, cheat, and steal. And I hear guys stand there in front of me and say, I'm a Christian, talk Jesus Christ, and then turn around and curse.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Bitter sweet water don't come out of the same fountain.
No, sure doesn't.
And Peter, what did he do when he denied Christ? He cursed. And what did he do after that? He went out and he wept bitterly.
Yeah.
And I think we need some old-fashioned repentance.
Yes, sir. Praise
to turn from our ways and to clean our lives up and let God clean us up.
Yes,
look,
sir.
I know if you've had a habit of saying these words, that you've just been saved and you're new in the Lord, that you let one slip maybe every now and then. Look, just, you know, when you feel that conviction, God, I'm sorry. That's the good thing about this. We're all in this boat to help you succeed. We're not here to push you down.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Beat you up.
Amen.
We're here to lift you up. Let the Word of God work through you.
Amen.
Amen. Compassion for the lost. A love of souls that compels us to tell them in the face of a bad reception. Whoa. Rejection. I used to do door-to-door ministry. Go door to door. And folks, if you want to learn what real rejection is, try that. Everybody thinks you're a Mormon, first of all. Man, I mean, whoom! Yeah, they're not nice either.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I was a young man. I was in Bible school. And it was tough. I thought, man, is this school this bad thought of? Or do I smell this bad? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I even asked my partner, I said, what have you done? You know, what have I done? Somebody's done something, sure. Look, let me tell you something. We got to tell them the good news.
Yes, sir.
Whether they want to hear it or they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to tell them lovingly.
Yes,
as much as we can. But sometimes it's just not easy to tell people the truth.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not received well. Even the people of God don't receive it well.
Come on.
Compassion for those that are lost. Mentioning Jesus' name. How many days have you gone in the week encountering a person without Christ and never mentioning the name of Jesus?
Come on. Help us, Lord.
Or never done anything to attempt try to reach them. God help us. Consideration for eternity is not compelling anymore. This is another one. The last one. People live as if there's no eternity.
Right.
People say, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell, but they don't live that way. Yeah, I've wondered, how many funerals have you ever been to where the preacher stood up and basically said, this person went to hell, I'm so sorry. No preacher in his right mind to do that, right? That's not comforting the family. Unfortunately, it's true. But here's the thing, God only knows that.
That's exactly right.
We don't know that. But it's amazing, we put them in heaven,
but
we won't put them in hell. Sometimes I wonder, I worked at a funeral home, I've heard a lot of messages, and it amazed me how dishonest kind of we are at the funeral. It's kind of like the lady said, they were saying so many good things about her husband, she wanted to go up and make sure that was him. You know? Sometimes you hear so much, you're like, is that really that person? Because that isn't the person I knew.
Yeah.
It was a sorry individual, you know. But it's really, I think it's really telling a lie to people out there. Given the perception that this is not real, everybody goes to heaven, everything's going to be all right. And I wonder sometimes if we weren't more open and honest and maybe stick to the message of salvation or stick to something that would help people. And I know it's a real, I've been a pastor, I know it's tough. I've had to preach a funeral that I know the person is highly questionable where they were at. Thank God, God gets to work all that out. I don't.
Right.
Because I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough position. You're trying to give something good to the family, and yet you don't want to lie.
Yeah.
You want to tell the truth. You want to challenge people to get their lives right. And so that's what we usually end up doing. Oh, Demas, 2 Timothy 3 and 4, was an example of a disciple that left. What did it say? He forsook the Lord for the love of the world.
Yeah,
I'm afraid so many today are so caught up, folks, in the world and what is going on out there. So caught up with living and enjoying. You know, one of the things that in 2 Timothy it talks about, 3 and 4, says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God is a sign in the last days. Yes. Now, I like having a good time. I love it. But I don't love it more than the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we can't get to the point that we want to be somewhere doing something else more than serving God and doing what He wants us to do. God help us to want to come and worship Him and love
Yes,
Him
sir.
And serve Him. As Nathan comes, if you would, to the piano and the family tonight, I ask you a question as you stand together with us. Are you prepared for what you might face? Prepared to maintain your position as a disciple in the Lord? Or will you also go away? Are you strong enough when these storms come? Because they're coming, folks, I'm just telling you. They're already here.
Yeah.
But we've not seen the things that we're going to see, the pressures from our government and from our country. That we're seeing, you got to do this or you can't, we're not going to let you buy here.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir.
Where do you think you go next for the Christian? Now, that may seem like an economic thing, but once you move from there, the next step is, if you're a Christian, you're not going to do this.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this. If Jesus tarries, we're going to see it. The test is already pretty well, people have caved in. Unfortunately, a lot of people turn their backs on the Lord. I remember at 13 years old, in an Assembly of God church, we had a new pastor come in, and he was very conservative. And he began to deal with things in the young people's lives that hit home. And he was right. They didn't want to hear him. They mocked him. To the point that they could even went to their families complaining. There was a big exit from many of these families, many of these young people I knew. I didn't understand. I was 13 years old. I just knew my friends were gone. But as I grew older, I began to see these families, these young people, they went away. And I can't tell you how many lives were destroyed. I can't tell you how much they lost. I know that a lot of them lost their souls, folks. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed in the place tonight, the only answer for strength to be prepared is to lean on the church of God and the people of God. Listen to your pastor. He loves you. He wants to teach you the truth. Oh, he may not always get it right, but I guarantee you this pastor loves his church. Been here a long time. He still loves you. Hear what he's saying. When he has the mind of the Lord, listen to what he's saying and let God work in your soul and in your life. Young people, don't get caught up in this world, what they're doing out there. Stand firm on this gospel. Let Jesus fill your life and you'll never be sorry. He will not forsake you. And you'll have hope and joy and peace when the world's in turmoil. And they don't know which way's up or down. You'll know.